The Lord has been good. I'm going to do this now before I forget, but I have a baptismal certificate for Annie. So if Annie wants to come down and get that. The Lord is good. Amen. I heard your prayer request and your testimonies. Isn't it amazing that we have testimonies of what God is doing in our life? That He would even work in our life. Why would He work in our life? That's because He cares for us and He loves us. I love the song that says, "Tell me about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus." Our Jesus is amazing. Amen. There's no Savior like Him. There's no one who can save you. The song is, "He stepped into my Egypt. He took me by the hand and He led me into the promised land." Is that not amazing in your life to experience, church? This is your Jesus who died on the cross for you, who saved your life, that stepped into your Egypt, your sin, and washed it as white as snow. We didn't deserve that type of love. I'll preach that till the day I die. Because there's nothing like it. It's the gospel. It's the good news. It's everything that anybody should ever know, is to know the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. Because you can prevail. You can persist. You can endure anything in your life if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Psalms 143, 7 through 12 says, "Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who have gone down to the pit. Let the morning bring me a word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for in you I trust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant." Do you follow the Lord? Do you want to draw closer to God? Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. That's a promise, church. Do you want to draw close in your life? Because He wants to draw close to you. He wants to be close to you. And when we draw close to God, when we get near to God, wow, is His peace transcends all understanding in your life. Does He give that joy that transcends all understanding in life? That comfort that doesn't make any sense to the world? That is what God gives us when we draw close to Him and He draws close to us. And there's many believers that struggle in their suffering. Many people today, right today, in this very church, if there's one message that people need to hear today, is that suffering doesn't last forever. This is what we've heard and learned through the story of Job and what we'll continue to learn today. But let me ask you a question, church. Can you find the good in your suffering? Oh, wow, is that difficult sometimes? But can I just tell you, even if you don't believe me, there is good when you endure suffering in your life. Though it might be difficult to find, there's always good in the middle of your storm. Why? Because Jesus is with you in the middle of the storm. If you're a believer in Christ, let that sink into your heart. Let it sink into your soul, knowing that I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll feel no evil. Why? Because you have Christ in your life. You have the Savior in your life who walks with you in the middle of the storm. You can always find good because good is with you if you have Christ. So let me ask you, church, can you find worth in your suffering? Can you find value in your suffering? Can you find goodness in your suffering? Though it may be difficult, it's there. It's there. We've been doing our study through the book of Job, and it's been a roller coaster. Amen, church? Amen. It's been a roller coaster. We've seen Job, how he's worshipped in his suffering. We've seen Job wrestle in his suffering. But we're also going to see the value in his suffering. What he gets out of his suffering. Job went through a lot. Let me just recap just for a moment, really quickly. What did Job go through? Satan accuses him before God. And God gives Satan permission to take everything Job has. His health and all. So he takes all of his animals. He takes all of his servants. He takes everything he has. And mostly, he takes his 10 kids. Then he takes his health. Boils from head to toe. What does this man say? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But then, the friends come. They have a moment of silence because they see how great Job suffered. But sometimes when you just can't take it anymore, you just can't take it anymore. We're all human. There's times in our life where we say, I just can't take it anymore. I can't take all this suffering in my life. I can't take it anymore. So we see this wrestling that Job has where he says, I wish I had never been born. I wish I were to die. I wish that day was never put on the calendar. What a place you have to be. What a place you have to be to have that type of depression in your life. He's wrestling, and now he's beginning to question the justice of God. God, if you're so good and you're so great, why is this happening to me? Is this not relatable to our lives, church? He begins, this is what Job does. He begins to wish that he could put God on trial. He says, Lord, he tells his friends, if I could just put God on trial, he'd have to answer me. He'd have to answer my questions. He'd have to vindicate me. He'd have to release the suffering. If I could just put God on trial, then he would vindicate me. Some of us say those types of things. If I could just talk with God face to face, then I could tell him what to do. Think about that as we read these passages. Job 38 is where we're going to be. We're going to read a few verses. You know I like to read a few verses. Job chapter 38, starting in verse 1, it says, Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched out a measuring line across it? Or what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstones while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it, I set its doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you may come and no farther here is where your proud waves halt? Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place that it might take... It might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it. The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. It stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light and their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the deepest darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Let me remind you, church, that God is our creator. This is what he's telling Job right here. Things that Job has no idea. The mysteries of God. That God is our creator. But not only is he our creator, he's our sustainer. Everything he has, everything he made, he also holds it up. Everything he's created, he also keeps it going. Is that not amazing to serve a God like this? God here is showing Job that there are many things that Job does not understand. And let me tell you, church, there's many things I don't understand. There's not always I understand why I'm suffering. Not always do I understand why this happens or that happens. But I can trust the God who laid the foundations of the earth knows it. Amen, church? Amen. God is showing Job. This might be tough, but sometimes we're guilty of it. God is showing Job that the world doesn't revolve around Job. Who does it revolve around? It revolves around the maker of heaven and the maker of earth. It revolves around God, not around Job. For he laid the foundations of the earth, not Job, not us. He laid the foundations of the earth. He put everything where it needs to be. And let me tell you, sometimes, church, we are guilty of this. We are guilty of having such a small view of God. I think at times Job had a very small view of God. Can I just encourage you with this? God is so vast and amazing. These 14, 18 verses should just leave us with our mouths hold open. That God is so great in his creation, in his majesty, in his splendor, in what he creates, he also holds up and he sustains forever. God is our creator. Let me just tell you this, that when...
fell
is missed from God. Is that not awesome to know? Maybe it's not for some. God knows every detail of your life. Why? Because He's created every detail. He's wonderfully made you, knitted you together in your mother's womb. What is that saying? It says God loves you and has put you together. Can I tell you that God's wish is not for us to suffer? God didn't create suffering. But it's here. And it will be here until He comes back. Now maybe that's not the most encouraging thing, especially if you don't have Christ. But for those who have Christ, we can trust in our Creator. Amen. Amen. Let's stop having such a small view of God. God is too big for that. Just like Eddie said, don't be afraid to pray for the small things. Why? Because God knows everything. He has everything in His hands. Stop thinking God is this small God, small g, whoever. He's the living God who's made everything, made you and I, and holds all of it together. God is telling Job, He's like, tell me if you know all this. If you know how it's made, if you know how it runs, if you know where the depths of the ocean are and the heights of the mountain, if you know all those things, Job, let me know. Let's see what Job has to say in chapter 40. Turn to chapter 40. Verse 1, it says, the Lord said to Job, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. Then Job answered the Lord, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God? And can your voice thunder like this? Then adorn yourself with glory and splendor, and clothe yourself in honor and majesty. Unleash the fury of your wrath. Look at all who are proud and bring them low. Look at all who are proud and humble them. Crush the wicked where they stand. Bury them all in the dust together. Shroud their faces in the grave. Then I myself will admit to you that your own right hand can save you. What is God telling Job? You're not God. You're not God. What also do we see here? Honestly, Job had nothing to say. What can you say when the maker of heaven and earth tells you that I did this, I did this, I formed that, I hold it all up? Job couldn't say anything. What does he say? He says, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. Job spoke what things he probably shouldn't have. Job loved the Lord. Remember, blameless, upright, a man who shuns evil, and a man who fears God. He loved the Lord. But sometimes our suffering brings us to that breaking point, and sometimes we slip up and we say things we probably shouldn't say to the Almighty, the Lord of heaven. Even Jimmy shared a story with us on Sunday where he couldn't take it. He had no idea what was going on. And what did Jimmy say? He said he had to repent. Why? Because he's talking to the Holy One of God. Sometimes we don't say the right things to the Holy One of God. And Job here doesn't have a lot to say, but he also, I want to say, God is the God of justice. This is what we also see from just these. God is the God of justice. What does that mean? It means He's just. It means that evil will not prevail in your life. Even if you suffer, even if evil takes you out here on earth. But if you're a believer, it doesn't take you out, because in the final day, God will destroy evil. Is that not an awesome thing to know? That those that are wicked, those that crush people, that murder people, that steal from people, and they don't put their trust in Jesus, they don't prevail. Evil doesn't prevail in your life. God prevails. Goodness prevails. The God is the God of justice. Amen. And what does he say there in verse 14? and I myself will admit to you that your own right hand can save you. See, at times Job thought he could do better than God. At times. So frustrated. If I was only God, I'd do it this way. Have we not been guilty of that? I know I have heard it many times. What did we say? If I was God, I would change this. If I was God, I would say this. If I was God, I would do that. That is not a good thing to say, because we're not God. We don't know all things. We don't see all things. And this is the trap Job fell in. He didn't see all things. He doesn't know all things. He doesn't see everything that's going on. He doesn't know what this suffering that he's going through is going to do in the future. He doesn't know what's going to happen in the future. Sometimes we fall into that trap, and praise the Lord for his mercy and his grace. He understands us. He knows us. Praise the Lord, he's not quick to anger, but he's slow to anger. He's compassionate. He's loving. He's all those things. He abounds in all those things. Praise the Lord, he is God, and we're not. Because if I was God, or Job was God, wow, would we be quick in our anger? Wow, would we not be compassionate at times? Wow, would we seek revenge at times for things that happen in our life? Praise the Lord, he doesn't do that. Turn with me to chapter 42. This is kind of where we'll camp out. Last chapter. This is where most people stay. But listen to what Job says after all this. Just a side note here. Remember Job's questions? Job had some questions for God. He said, Lord, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? All questions most people say. God didn't answer a single one of those. Rather, what did God do? God gave Job 70 questions. It's like this: when you ask a question to mom or dad, and then they reply with another question. You imagine it's fairly frustrating. Hey, I got a question, Mom. Well, I got a question for you. Same thing God does here. Chapter 42, verse 1, it says, Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things, and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. You ask, Who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust, in ashes. See, Job here finally speaks, but what does he say? He says, Lord, I repent. I repent for not knowing, for things that are too wonderful for me to know. There's so many things that we don't know. The suffering we go through, sometimes those things, we don't even have the ability to know it, because it's too wonderful. What God is going to do with it. What God is going to do through your times of suffering. He repents, and God here humbles Job. And sometimes when we go through suffering, where are we left at the end? Humbled. Sometimes God humbles us because we think we might be able to do it better or whatever. God humbles Job here for things he didn't understand, things he didn't know, things that were too wonderful for him to know. But what I love most about these six verses, look at verse 5. It says, My eyes have heard of you, but now my eyes see you. This is what suffering will do if you let it. Did you hear what I just said, church? If you let suffering in your life, pain in your life, grief, whatever that looks like in your life, lead you to Christ, lead you to follow Christ. What is it? What does he say? My eyes have heard of you. I've heard of the things you've done, God. I've heard of those things. I've heard of the majesty and the great and the wonders. But then he says, but now my eyes have seen you. When you go through suffering and you come out the other side, when you follow Christ, then you begin to see the power of God. You begin to experience God. You'll have testimony of what the Lord's done in your life. Sometimes he'll bring you through a suffering in your life so that you can share with somebody that God is powerful in your life, that God can do something in your life, that God can save your life, that God is your hope, your living hope, that you can put your trust in him. Amen, church? Have you seen the Lord? I hope you have. I hope you've seen him in your life, because there's nothing better. Have you prayed for something for years and years, and God comes through? What an amazing thing that now you have heard of the awesome things. You've heard people's prayers been answered, but now you see it for yourself. God so often does that. And then he says, therefore I despise myself and repent in the dust. Why does he repent? Because he wants to come closer with God. He wants to be close with God. And when you come through suffering and you walk with God in your suffering, you draw closer with God. You become intimate with God. You have an amazing relationship with God. And sometimes God allows us to go through suffering so we'll get closer with him, because we might not get there any other way. So that might be tough to hear, but sometimes God has had me go through suffering so I'll get closer. Because I might not do it on my own. He draws us closer to himself. I hope you've experienced that in your life. What does that mean? It means we don't just serve this God that's distant from us. We don't serve a God that doesn't care about us. Rather, we serve a personal God who loves and cares for us, that has knitted us together, that has formed every detail of the earth, that has loved you, has sent his son for you, that you might have life everlasting. Amen? Amen. Life everlasting. And let me tell you, you have a choice, church. A choice. You have a choice whether to follow God, you have a choice whether to draw closer to God, or you have a choice to turn away from God. That's not God's choice. That's your choice. You have a choice. And let me just say this, just before we go on to one of my favorite parts. Maybe you're here today and you need to repent. Maybe you've said things you probably shouldn't have, like Job did. Maybe you forgot the vastness of God, the awe of God, the salvation of God through your suffering. Maybe you need to repent like Job so that you can draw closer with him. Amen, church? Amen. Verse 7, it says, after the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends because you have spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. So now take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. You have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite did all what the Lord told him them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. And after Job had prayed for his friends, and the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before, all his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him at his house, and they comforted him and consoled him over the trouble the Lord had brought on him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter named Jemima, and the second Keziah, and the third Karen Hapuk. Nowhere in the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation, and so Job died, an old man full of years. What is this saying? Listen to me, church. This is amazing. God restores. We'll go through suffering in this life, but sure, we serve the God that restores. But I want to just put a side note here. This doesn't mean that if you endure suffering, that God's going to give you twice as much, or God's going to just give you all the things that you can want. He might not do that here. Because some people pass away in their suffering. This is Job's story. But there will be some that will use this story to preach prosperity. This isn't about prosperity. What is this about? It's about God restores. God restores what is lost. Is that not amazing, church? Why? And I've asked this question. Why then does it not end just at verse 6? Why go on and tell us about all the restoration? This is why I believe. This is why I believe God told us all these things he did for Job. Is so that we know that suffering doesn't have the last stand. Amen, church? Suffering doesn't have the final say. Suffering in your life, pain in your life, grief in your life, if you serve the Lord, it doesn't have the final say. Is that not an amazing, amazing news, church? That your broken marriage doesn't have the final say. Your burnt down house doesn't have the final say. The loss of your children doesn't have the final say. Natural disasters don't have the final say. Hurricanes, tornadoes, all those different things don't have the final say. Why? Because Christ has the final say. The Lord has the final say. And when you serve Him with all of your heart, when you trust Him with your life, He gives salvation. Think of the cross for a moment. Jesus is hung on the cross. All the suffering in the world, all the pain in the world is on Him, on your Savior. He's crushed under it. But God has the final say. He lifts them up. And we're promised the same thing if we trust in Him. So let me tell you one more time, maybe several times, that suffering in your life doesn't have the final say. You tend to get through suffering a little easier when you understand that. Suffering doesn't have the final say. Christ does. And what did Christ do for me? He gave His life. On Calvary, so I could go home. And if you trust in Him for salvation, He offers that to you as well. I hope you're a testimony to that today, church. So remember, church, that suffering in your life, no matter how great, no matter how it hurts, doesn't have the final say. So why is suffering worth it? Why is it valuable? Why is it good at times? Well, what have we seen? Number one, it reminds us that God is our Creator and there's no one like Him. He's our sustainer and protector because He knows all things. And number two, it reminds us that God is just. He's the perfect judge. And even if I go through pain in my life and suffering in my life, it doesn't have the final say. And number three, it draws us closer with God. If you choose to let it, if you want to draw closer out of your suffering, He'll draw closer with you. God doesn't leave us in our suffering. Rather, He walks with us through it. And number four, it reminds us that we serve a God that restores. Though you've lost everything in this life, you gain much more in heaven. I hope as we go through this week with the loss of people that we love very dear, and remember that they're in the greatest place that anyone could ever be. Where is it? With Christ. Because there's nothing better. So, and also, why is suffering worth it? I want to read this one more thing. 2 Corinthians 12:7 through 10 is when Paul is talking. It says, because of these surpassing great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen, church? Amen. Remember, church, remember that when you're going through suffering, when the hits just keep on coming, when you think you're not going to get out of it, remember that God's grace is sufficient for you. But much more, remember that through your suffering, God's power is made known. This is what Paul is saying. His power is made known through my weaknesses, through my sufferings, through my pains, through my griefs, through my cries. His power is made known. And who sees that power? The world sees that power. So endure suffering so the world might see the power of God. So the world might see the power of God in your life. My eyes have heard of you. But now my eyes have seen you. His grace is sufficient to get you through anything. Trust in it. Trust in it. See, church, there's many people going through suffering in our church today. I don't have to go outside these four walls to find someone suffering. There's people suffering right now, today. Many of you. For lots of different reasons. For lots of different reasons. Trust in the Lord. For His grace is sufficient. Trust in the Lord. For He's the one who takes us from the pit. Trust in the Lord. For He's the one that restores. There's many people suffering. And remember, there's always a purpose. This is what we've learned through Job. Even though Job didn't see it, there's always a purpose. And God knows it. God has it. He knows exactly what for. And ask Him, Lord, use it for Your glory. Use my weakness. Use my suffering. Use my pain for Your glory. Because there's nothing better to use our weakness to show the power of God. So let me ask you, church, for all of you that are suffering, can you trust the Lord in your suffering? Let's stand.